So you're with the Resistance?
Hello, what have we here?
I'm a big deal in the Resistance.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Resistance Radio. It's episode 107. Hope you all enjoyed last week's show, because this week, it's all about, well, it's all about, I guess, a new face, if you will. You know, actors who have... Actually, characters who've had more than one actor play them in the Star Wars universe. As always, I'm Mikey B, and I'm joined with my co-host, Ben. How are you doing today, Ben?
Hello. I'm doing okay.
I'm glad that you're on the show, Ben. I'm excited to have you here.
I am glad that I am also on the show, yes.
I think we're going to talk a little bit about one of your favorite characters today, too.
Sweet.
I know, right? And joining us this week, we also have Eric Skull. Welcome back, Eric. It's been a while.
Hey, guys. It is just a pleasure to be here.
I feel like with your love for the prequels and probably one of our main characters we're going to talk about, you need to be here, you know, because I love the prequels. You know,
I was thrilled when you reached out. Yeah, I know we've been trying to make it work for weeks and weeks, but I think it's been since Last Jedi, man.
Yeah,
or, like,
probably
since,
has.
Since before Last Jedi, so I'm thrilled to be back. Glad to see... that the podcast is going strong. I was thrilled when you guys had your 100th episode. That was super cool. Congratulations, by the way, on that milestone. And yeah, it's good to be back and talking about prequels as always.
Yeah, well, it's not prequels. It's about Solo, but I guess Solo is a prequel, right?
Prequel, right?
Yeah, yeah, it is. It is, right? Yeah, it is. If you want to get involved in the conversation, guys, you can get a hold of us on Twitter at our radio podcast. Leave a comment on our Facebook page or send an email through our website, resistanceradio.net. You can also leave a comment on this post when it goes up on hypeable.com. Today's podcast is brought to you by audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/resistanceradio. With over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player, get the latest Star Wars audiobook for free, including Last Shot, which is the new Han Solo and Lando book. I will tell you this, it's actually really, really good as an audiobook. I actually wasn't going to get it as an audiobook, I'll be honest with you. But Evan from the Johto cast is like, you know what, I need to pick it up in audiobook form. I said, okay, you know what, I might do that too. And so while talking to him, I ended up downloading it as an audiobook, purchasing it. And it's really good. They have two different voice actors doing the voices for Han. As Han that we know it, like Harrison Ford era Han, if you will. And then young Han from what we would see in Solo. So I don't know if they did that on purpose to help us kind of like have your brains kind of get used to having two different voices. But it's really well done. Like, you instantly know when you're going into like a flashback. When they're referencing stuff. So I dig it. Check it out. Last Shot. Good book. Anyway, we've also launched our Patreon. Check it out at patreon.com/resistanceradiopodcast. Some perks include joining us live in a recording studio. You can message us there. Random messages that we have inside
our
Patreon.
Perk?
I guess it is. Yeah, you know, only people that can join us here is Patreon members. They're in here. You know, Brack has come on the show. Heck, if you're a Patreon member, you might even get a chance to come on the show. Because, you know, you're right there and you're talking to us and you add input to it. We also have After Dark episodes and movie nights where you can hear us talk about the movies. Next movie up is A New Hope, which we're excited for.
Wait,
it's okay.
Revenge of the Sith?
Yeah, we did it.
Did I miss this?
Yes, you did. You weren't there.
FOMO.
Me and Donnie had fun without you. I mean,
great.
Anyway.
That's most people.
If you can't afford to support us via Patreon, that's okay. We do have merchandise for sale on our website. T-shirts and button packs are there. Guys, it is time for the news.
Yay.
I think that was gay. No excitement about it.
No.
Yeah. Right. Okay. So
I will say I am super, 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 super excited for one of the news items, and you can guess which one it is.
It's this first
Could
one that we're going to go to is Disney revealed some new drone footage from the Star Wars theme park. I linked it in there, guys. If you guys haven't seen the drone footage, it's actually pretty cool. So Disney has released some drone footage of Star Wars Galaxy's Edge, and you can see all the construction that they've been doing. And I really like this because, you know, for a lot of these places, you end up seeing, like, third-party, like, fake, you know, not fake drone footage, but drone footage that's kind of, like, taken, that's not really approved by the company. So some of them are really good, but some of them's like, really bad, and you can see that, like, security comes to try to take it down. But this was actually released by Disney themselves, and you can see how the park is kind of shaping up. It looks amazing on how much they've done so far. You know, it's kind of amazing when you think that they announced it and it's going to be opening up next year, but it really does looks like it's just, it's awesome. And actually what's really funny is in the drone footage, you don't see the AT-ATs that we talked about, probably 6 months ago, because apparently those are inside one of the structures. So there's like full life-size AT-AT walkers inside one of these structures that's part of one of the rides, which is really cool.
Huh.
Wow.
You guys excited about the theme park at all?
I'm surprised LA has room for this.
This is Anaheim, yeah. So
I'm looking at this 10-minute video from Dork's Side of the Force, and I can't for the life of me pull up a timestamp that is actually the drone footage.
If you scroll down, the drone footage is below it.
Oh my god! Okay, thank God. Thank you very much.
Man, I am so glad Eric knows how to use the internet. Everybody, maybe that's the episode.
Mikey, if anybody had to teach me the internet, I'm glad it's you.
There we go. There's a direct link to the drone footage.
Yeah, I bet he can still send audio to you faster than I can.
It's just 50 seconds. Yeah, I'll take that challenge. No, it looks great. You know, this is I had the pleasure of running into the Harry Potter World theme park, the Wizarding World of Harry Potter, a couple of months before it launched, and there was a little bit more than scaffolding. I will say, this is still looks to be in a metal scaffolding kind of phase, but that's, I'm sure it's on schedule. I'm not trying to suggest otherwise. But, Warner Brothers was really, really nervous about showing us the park when it, pretty much all they had to do was, the top coat of paint on the facade. So the fact that Disney is, seeing fit to release this drone footage to kind of confidently, boast, kind of how cool it's going to be. I noticed that there's this overlay of concept art, and then that's, kind of shows you what each of these buildings is going to look like in the finished project. It's kind of like, well, great kid, don't get cocky, but I am pleased with how bold Disney has been in doing this and releasing official drone footage when there's no, fixtures or decorations or theming really that's been implemented. It's just a series of bones in the hangar. That's kind of brilliant. It shows that Disney's not nervous at all about, building this park and all who will come and see it.
Yeah, the really cool thing, I'll say this, the really cool thing is they've also released we kind of talked about it, and I actually posted video of this on our Patreon when I was at Disneyland, back in January. They have a life-size model, I think it's like a 1/100th size model mock-up of what the land's going to look like. And they've also done a fly-through of that, too. And it's really cool to kind of see this after you've watched the drone fly-through, because you can spot exactly where some of these structures have been built and kind of what it's supposed to look like when you're in there. The really cool thing about the park, I think the park is going to be awesome, but when the hotel in Orlando opens, the really cool thing is it's going to be the only hotel that's actually in the theme park, because you exit the hotel into Batuu, into this land. And actually, the Star Tours ride, if you're going to go to Disneyland or Disney World, the Star Tours ride as of January 12th, I think I mentioned it on the show, they actually updated the Star Tours ride for the ending to match up to the Galaxy's Edge Batuu. So you land into the theme park, into this world. But it was just released when I got a chance to be there. I may or may not have had a little birdie tell me to check out Disneyland when I was there because of this. But it's definitely worth checking out, and I am so excited for this because it's Star Wars. I love, the Harry Potter park in Orlando and in Hollywood, but it's Star Wars, and it's at Disneyland because, Disney's awesome. Anyway, moving on. Eric, I think this is the bit of news you're kind of excited for.
Yeah.
I'm kind of excited for this, too. So, they have announced the next Star Wars Celebration. So, Star Wars Celebration 2019 has gotten a location, and dates for tickets. It's going to be in Chicago. Eric, who do we know that lives in Chicago?
You know, Mikey, there's a man that you know for about 14 years now. Andrew Sims.
Andrew Sims lives in Chicago. Yeah, he lives in Chicago, there, right?
Yeah.
Who else lives in Chicago?
Oh, Ferris Bueller.
Yeah, Ferris Bueller and Ferris's friend and
Batman.
Yeah. It's you, Eric. You know you live in Chicago, buddy.
Yeah. You and I buddy, we're going all the way. It's gonna be a blast.
Oh yes, it's
Star Wars celebration. I'm expecting you to get me into all the things, all the VIP things.
We'll see about that. Well, I will tell you this. I don't know if Resistance Radio will be there in any capacity. We haven't gotten any confirmation about podcast stage or anything. But
what are you talking about?
There.
You're talking about this isn't this is not going to be an indie pop reunion then? We're not going to have Danya. Well, we're not going to have...
I don't know. I don't know if Danya will be there, but I will tell you this. I can confirm. I've already got the dates requested off from work. They've approved them a year and a half at LA. It's been approved. My wife has been said, like, yes. Leslie's like, let's go. She's like, okay, I got a year to make outfits for Amelia. We're thinking an Ewok and maybe a mini little Ahsoka for her. You got a little headdress for her, her lightsabers.
Yeah, so I think, you know,
she'll be almost two then. She'll be toddling around, so I think that'll be kind of cool outfit. I have to finish up my Stormtrooper costume and my Jedi outfit that I have. So, yes. So, guys, Star Wars Celebration is coming to Chicago 2019. The dates are going to be April 11th through April 15th. It's going to be at McCormick Place. So, Eric, do you know anything about this venue in Chicago?
Yeah, McCormick Place is massive, and depending on what building they take out, or buildings, I know, you know, where they are, but there's a popular convention in Chicago every year called C2E2, and it's usually in April, right around this weekend. And so I was blown away. I was like, oh my God, is this, you know, back-to-back conventions? And it turns out that C2E2 is actually 2 weeks before, at the end of March. But it's the same convention center in the south side of Chicago. It's roughly, you know, 2 miles south of downtown of the Loop area, and it's near Soldier Field, where the Chicago Bears play. And basically, that's, you know, where it's located. And it's just a beautiful convention center. It is everything that the cons that have gone there in the past have needed. And I really can't wait to see. You know, this will be my first Star Wars Celebration, so I'm really excited to see.
Star Wars Celebrations are extremely fun. I cannot say enough good things about it. I still think one of my fondest convention memories is waiting outside in line in the snow because they had a surprise appearance from George Lucas at Star Wars Celebration 3 in Indianapolis. It was ridiculous. I'm like, I'm going to wait outside in line. I'm going to see George in person. And it was the coolest thing ever for me. You know, I was 18 at the time, I think. So it was awesome. But yes, yeah. Tickets go on sale for Star Wars Celebration on June 5th at noon Central Standard Time, which is the noon in Chicago time. So they're okay. Central Standard Time. So if you want to go, check it out. They do have VIP passes, multi-day passes, and single-day tickets available. I will tell you, historically, VIP passes do sell out fairly quick. Multi-day passes will probably be around for a while, and probably up until the last 3 months, 4 months before, you'll probably see single-day tickets available. They make it to where a lot of fans can go. And when I say a lot of fans, it is a lot. You know, it's one of those things where it's bigger than Comic-Con in some respects, just because of the amount of people in one location for one property. It's kind of ridiculous. And just like Comic-Con, there are panels that go on, multiple panels that are happening at once, and you won't be able to see everything. So definitely pick and choose your favorites. The really cool thing is they have not announced anything, so I know we're going to see a bunch of different things, but I will tell you this, we will probably get some really cool sneak peeks of, I would say, probably like the phase 2 of Star Wars. Because you have to remember, 2019 will be coming up to episode 9 at that time. The parks being released, maybe an early peek episode of a nine. Finish of the park. We'll also probably see like maybe a little sneak peek of the live action TV show that John Favreau's doing at this. And maybe any new unannounced projects that they will announce there. Maybe like a Obi-Wan Kenobi movie. Who knows?
Don't get my hopes up.
Ben, are you going to make it to Chicago?
Probably not. That's like... I am still in school, and that is towards the end of the school year, so probably not.
But it's just a weekend. You usually don't have school on Saturday, Sunday.
Yeah, no, you don't. But you know, those couple weekends before the end of school, you're doing school on the weekends.
Yeah, I think you can arrange it if you.
You were in school once. It's been a while, but you were in school once, right?
You could make it. You know, if you wanted to, you could make it. I would think you could. Sure. But yes.
It's also only like a 3-hour plane ride too. Yeah.
I know. See, it's quick. That's easy. It's a 5-hour drive for me. I'm gonna drive up. I'm not gonna fly up. That way, I have a car and costumes and you know stuff like that. It takes up space. But yeah, Star Wars Celebration 2019 is announced. Check it out. Ticket prices have not been announced yet. They have not also announced any lodging for it yet. They have partnered with people, and if you look at a lot of the hotels, it says that it's either sold out or unavailable. My guess is because they have been working with them to make sure that there is special room rates and rooms available for everyone that is coming into Chicago. So it should be really fun. And mm-hmm. you know, when you're up there, you get to do all the Chicago things like, you know, stand and
get
blown on by the wind. It's windy up there, yeah. right? Is that, that's
you can see
I heard.
The beam.
You know, my favorite thing, being someone from New York, to do in Chicago is like stand on the street and just appreciate how they built the city correctly. And that the sidewalks are wider than New York. The trains make sense as opposed to New York.
And
the park
not to mention
is on the water as opposed to New York.
Alleyways as well. Big
There's
deal.
Just a lot.
We dispose what? Of our trash correctly.
That's also true, yeah. And then also like the fact that most New York movies are shot in Chicago. It looks like New York, or at least how Hollywood wants us to think New York looks like.
That's interesting. So,
and Gotham City. But those are kind of the same thing.
Yeah.
Are you saying Chicago's Gotham?
I mean, it is in one of those Batmans, right?
Two of them. At least The Dark Knight.
The Dark Knight, yeah. Okay.
And I think also Batman Begins, but I can't be sure.
Yeah. Anyway, let's move on to our spotlight topic, everybody. So this topic I found was really interesting, just because as I thought about it, you know, Solo is on its way. You know, Ben, you just got your tickets, you said.
I did, yes.
So I'm excited for it. Eric, do you have your tickets for Solo?
I am just waiting to confirm a date and time with some friends of mine, and then I will get my tickets.
There you go. So you're not quite there.
I just want to make it clear that before we started recording, Mikey got on my case for getting my tickets today. So,
because they went on sale like 2 weeks ago.
I know, but if Eric doesn't have his tickets, then you can't get on my case for not having gotten my tickets.
He's not a regular co-host, Ben.
That doesn't make a difference. It made me feel bad, Mikey.
I'm sorry, Ben.
It's
at least you got your tickets, and Eric doesn't, so at least we know we're going to see it. So on Saturday when we record our Solo episode, we'll have all seen it. But this topic here, you know, it's one of those things. We have a new actor playing Han Solo. You know, we have Alden Ehrenreich, and we had Harrison Ford.
Oh, wait,
Ford
that's
before.
Not Harrison Ford?
No, it's not Harrison Ford doing Han Solo in this film.
I don't think there's an amount of money you could pay to have Harrison Ford come back and play Han Solo.
I was about to say, he looks great.
Yeah, but then that's not Harrison Ford, a little bit so younger. We also have another person playing Lando Calrissian. We had Billy Dee Williams in the original one, and now we have Donald Glover.
Yeah, we do.
And so I wanted to look back at other characters, actors, that have had their established character replaced with a different actor or version of themselves, if you will.
Yeah, it turns out this is not the first time this has happened.
but it's definitely not the first time this has happened in the Star Wars universe. And I want to say this, like, when you look at the prequels, and this is why I wanted you on the show, Eric, is there is definitely a love-hate kind of thing that happens with the prequel era. You know, the first three films, people kind of say, oh, they're horrible, don't watch them. People want the original trilogy. But they're so good in a lot of respects. They opened up the doors for a lot of different things. And I think everyone agrees the best character in the prequels is Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Jar Jar. Oh.
Jar Jar is pretty good, too. You know, Misa Jar Jar
I was actually
going to
say, like, As a diehard Kenobi fan, I would argue the only person who rivals him is probably Mace Windu.
Windu is overhyped with a capital O in my mind.
That and like Ian McDiarmid kind of carries those movies too. I don't know.
Well, yeah, and that's actually interesting that you brought up.
They don't
Ian
recast
McDiarmid
him, right?
Was this he reprised his role?
Yeah,
Ian McDiarmid was the Emperor in the original trilogy, yeah. And he's the young version of himself because he just didn't have to wear makeup in the prequels.
But wasn't it another
40 something when he did the Return of the Jedi? Right?
Yeah, wasn't it another actor though in Empire? Who portrayed the Emperor when he was over the screen with Darth Vader originally?
That was a monkey. That wasn't an actor.
Oh, really?
A monkey actor.
No, it was a monkey's face. Yes.
But it's like, that monkey was an actor, though.
Yeah, yes. I don't know.
We don't need to be discussing that, I guess.
You know, like Andy Serkis, you know? Right?
Yeah.
That's how they do it.
I see.
Now, in the 80s, they composited the image of a monkey, in a hood,
played by Andy Serkis.
Played by a monkey. I don't know the monkey's name. Sorry,
Andy is the monkey's name.
No, we didn't have motion capture.
Sorry, this is really hard without Caitlin here. Caitlin, I regret bringing it up. Okay, as you should.
Ben, that doesn't make sense.
I would agree. Ian McDiarmid carried those films as well, but Obi-Wan is a huge highlight of the prequels, and especially Ewan McGregor's portrayal of him. I think there's a lot of depth there. I think there's a lot of, you know, there's a clear arc. The character grows. The character changes, and I prefer, you know, younger Obi-Wan, the Ewan McGregor Obi-Wan, to Sir Alec Guinness. Don't kill me.
And that's where this is why I wanted you on the show, Eric, because me and we were talking about it. Like, I don't know if I would say I prefer Ewan McGregor to Sir Alec Guinness. I think I like them equally. They bring very different perspectives to the character of Obi-Wan, which leads a lot of credibility to Obi-Wan's lie in the original trilogy to a certain point of view. Does that make sense? They both do a really good job of kind of fleshing out that character to make it so.
I think attention should be called to the fact that like the character is in a very different place in either trilogy too. So like, you know, I like him better definitely as Ewan McGregor because of just like where the character was. He was just like, you know, a young whippersnapper Jedi Knight. It was fun. It was fun to watch.
Well, he was a Padawan. He wasn't even a Jedi Knight.
Right. Yeah. And Alec Guinness is
Obi-Wan. At least
they
granted him the rank of master.
Alec Guinness's Obi-Wan has seen some shit, you know, but that works equally well. What I mean to say, or I guess another way of phrasing it would be, if you take away the prequels, Obi-Wan is much less of a fleshed-out, rounded character, I want to say. Like, I feel. Or you lose something. If you take away the prequels, Obi-Wan suffers as a character. Because to see where he's, you know, sort of the progression from young, not kind of spunky, I want to say, like, Padawan, to, you know, the death of Qui-Gon really emotionally maturing him, he has to take on Anakin as a Padawan himself and teach him, and then, you know, kind of witness his failure and have that all come full circle. You know, he struggles being either a friend or a mentor or a father figure-ish to, you know, a younger Anakin, all the way to seeing Anakin kill all of the Jedi and force the rest into hiding. So it's a huge, you know, the character has been through a lot, but getting to see sort of Ewan McGregor, and I think that, I mean, it was definitely a conscious choice in Revenge of the Sith to, with makeup and hairstyling and costuming, to get him to the point where by the end of the film you can see a sort of pre-Alec Guinness Obi-Wan. Now, we don't know exactly what he did all those years on Tatooine in exile, but you know, besides checking in on Luke occasionally, but they really intentionally kind of made him look like an Alec Guinness sort of, you know, guy at the end there, and I thought that actually they pulled it off pretty well, even though that would strike me as being awkward if done less well by another studio.
Yeah, you know, so I agree 100% in the sense that Ewan McGregor did a phenomenal job of kind of picking up the mannerisms and kind of growing into what we know Obi-Wan became. Especially by time, you know, and like Ben said earlier, he grows overall. You know, it's one of those things where he grew from Phantom Menace, Attack of the Clones, to becoming the negotiator and the beard and a little bit more mild-mannered in Revenge of the Sith. Beard. Yeah, the beard. You know, the beard. He didn't have the beard in the first one. He had the little Jedi, you know, Padawan braid, right? And, you know, and it's the reason I wanted to talk about him specifically is because this was actually brought up recently on Reddit. Is Ewan McGregor more Obi-Wan than Sir Alec Guinness? And I think it also comes down to, like, what you grew up with, too. You know, like, I grew up on the original trilogy, but I was still young enough. I was in 8th grade when... No, I was in, like, 8th grade when Revenge of the Sith came out. So, I was like, what, 5th grade? 4th grade?
There's no way. There's no way you were in 8th grade in 2005.
Wait, oh, no, no. 1999. I was in 8th grade in... I was in 8th grade Phantom Menace. That's what it was. See, I remember going in middle school, like... in 8th grade before I was in high school to see the prequels. So yeah, okay. So I saw Phantom Menace in 8th grade. So I had all those years before and all the extended, you know, the EU, extended universe stuff that, you know, involved Obi-Wan Kenobi and stuff like that before the prequels. So I love Ewan McGregor, but Alec Guinness is always like, is always going to be my
Alec Obi-Wan. Guinness was the first ever, I mean, he originated the hello there. And we can't forget that.
So, credit where it's due, okay? That's the most important Obi-Wan line ever.
Ever.
Hello there.
It's sort of like how, like, you know how, like, Leia originates It's a Trap, but we always give the credit to Ackbar?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, but I think Ackbar's is more charismatic, if you will.
I mean, I guess.
Well, I think, you know, from an actor standpoint, I mean, Sir Alec Guinness really lends a credibility to the movie that is much needed at that time. You know, I mean, can you imagine if Star Wars wasn't this massive, successful hit? And I'm talking about 1977 Star Wars. You know, like, if there weren't Alec Guinness in that role doing that, and if they had cast a lesser actor that had less... I don't know, gravitas, or it was less watchable for some reason, then you really just have a couple of punk teenagers, you know, running around, and, you know, we hear the stories about on set how many pranks there were and how it wasn't, you know, not a lot of people were taking that film seriously. I feel like, you know, Sir Alec Guinness's performance maybe saved that film and maybe made Star Wars possible, made future Star Wars possible. And Peter Cushing. So that... Yeah, so that can't be, you know, overlooked either.
Yeah, for sure.
So, speaking of Peter Cushing, we had Peter Cushing be Tarkin in A New Hope, but...
realizing that they recast Tarkin, too.
Well, no, I forgot to add it in there. I mentioned it earlier while I was talking.
I know, but it's just funny as, like, I mentioned it, and then I just see stuff appearing in the doc to talk about.
As I was already typing it up. So we also had Guy Henry take over the role of Tarkin as a younger version of him in Rogue One. So, thinking back to Rogue One, guys, did we...
Wait, who played him in Revenge of the Sith?
It was also Guy Henry also.
Oh, it was? It's the same guy? Yeah, okay.
Same guy.
He pulled a
Mon Mothma. Well, it's also the same guy who played, let's see, who was it? The same person who did Mon Mothma in Rogue One.
Guinevere O'Reilly.
She's not the... Mon Mothma is another character who is reprived. Guinevere O'Reilly played Mon Mothma in... Revenge of the Sith, which was cut in the deleted scene you see here. She also reprised the role in Rogue One, and she pulls, you know, and she also, I think we talked about it. She did a phenomenal job of taking, you know, being essentially the younger version of the person who played Mon Mothma in Return of the Jedi.
It's pretty illuminating.
Reprised.
Well, did she really reprise the role?
I'm just going for vocabulary here. Nothing.
It's
nothing
all right. You know, I stumble over words all the time, buddy. You get that.
No, that's okay. But yeah, it's actually surprising how many times it's happened and how many different actors have, you know.
And the the real reason I want this topic to, you know, us to kind of dive into it is think about it. Like, no one really complained that much about, you know, Guy Henry taking over for Peter, you know, Cushing. No one really complained that much. But you have to remember, the time the prequels came out, the internet really wasn't what it is today. Like, the communication boards and stuff like that we had, like, I remember going to StarWars.com that had a, you know, that had a forum. Like, think about how often people go to forums now versus, like, Facebook or Twitter or Instagram or Reddit or something like that. Like, a forum, a message board. And people were theorizing about, you know, is Palpatine, you know, Senator Palpatine actually Emperor Palpatine or not? You know, like, we didn't know. It wasn't 100% sure in that original prequel. In hindsight, it seems pretty obvious, but unless you had read the novels of the original trilogy, you never knew the Emperor's name. So yeah, it's definitely something that could be, you know, passed over.
Well, and so was it Guy Henry? Did they overlay Peter Cushing's face on
They CGI'd Guy Henry's face. They also did, the actress for Princess Leia.
Yeah.
I can never say her name.
It's a very Scandinavian name.
Yes, it is. It's Ingilvid Dilia.
Nailing it, Mikey.
I know I am, right? I'm amazing.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, it's Ingilvid Dilia. But she played Leia in Rogue One, and they CGI'd her, you know, Carrie Fisher's face. So it's one of those things where, obviously, these characters, other people have done it. And I will say, I think Leia's character, when she was CGI'd, that was one that had a lot of people talking. But I don't think a lot of people were upset with it.
No.
I think a lot of people were just like,
upset with Leia. I was upset with Tarkin.
Yeah, I like Tarkin in Rogue One. I rewatch it, I think it's better on the smaller screen than it was on the big screen for me.
Oh. But, isn't that kind of a problem?
Well, I think it's because we're also in this, for Tarkin and for Leia, because it's full CGI, it's supposed to be a human CGI, not a character CGI.
Yeah.
It's one of those things where it kind of falls in that uncanny valley where it's so good. Is it good? Is it not good enough? Your brain knows there's something off.
Yeah, if they'd waited 5 years, if it would have looked any better. Because, I don't know. I really struggle to believe in Tarkin in Rogue One. I think they could. I was under the impression that they would, for the entirety of the movie, except for maybe at the end, have him be, from behind in the reflection in the mirror, or in the window of whatever he's saying would be kind of Tarkin for the whole movie. Because Krennic is, the villain of that movie. And then at the end, he would have, a turnaround reveal to the camera, kind of like Leia does. And that would look amazing, and then that would be believable. You know, I think that would have been a cool move to do, because then he would be the kind of shadowy person.
That's what we saw in the trailers for Rogue One, was Tarkin's face in the reflection. You're like, oh, that's really cool what they're doing. And who knew if they're going to, because obviously we all know Peter Cushing's not around anymore, and Guy Henry took over. So, but I will say this, no one has given us the uproar that we've seen with Solo. You know, with Alden Ehrenreich taking over for Harrison Ford. As we talk about CGI characters, we also have Yoda. We saw this from the original Yoda. It was a puppet with Frank Oz portraying Yoda. We also saw Frank Oz reprise that role in The Last Jedi as a puppet. But in all the other films that Yoda has appeared, he has been CGI'd by ILM.
My VHS of Phantom Menace is a puppet.
Yeah. That's true. VHS and Phantom Menace. Yeah, before they redid Phantom Menace.
For the 3D 2012 release.
Wait, yeah, I wasn't aware. I think he's still a puppet in my version that I have. I would be surprised if he wasn't.
If it's the DVD release of Phantom Menace, he's still a puppet. If it's the Blu-ray release of Phantom Menace, it's CGI.
They redid it.
I gotta look that up, because I was actually not... my least favorite version of Yoda is the Phantom Menace Yoda, because I think he looks like just old trash. The puppet version.
Well, because you have to remember, that one... So, it's really interesting is, the when you look at Empire Strikes Back puppets, so let's just talk about the different puppets they use in it, because again, it's almost like a different actor, right? It's a different model. I will tell you, you see Yoda in Empire Strikes Back, Return of the Jedi, instantly it's believable, it's the same puppet, it's the same character. When you talk about Phantom Menace, and even The Last Jedi, you know, they're building it off molds that are significantly aged. So little things have changed over time, right? And specifically with Phantom Menace, they also tried to make him look younger, gave him some more hair, different things like that. So it is one of those things where he does kind of like what we saw with the CGI with Peter Cushing, you know, with Guy Henry and with Leia. It's one of those things where it almost falls in this uncanny valley where you're like, there's something weird about this, and it just doesn't look right. But you know who it's supposed to be. You guys agree or no?
I have to rewatch Revenge of the Sith again for the Yoda moments, but I remember loving all CGI Yoda in Attack of the Clones.
Well, and that's the thing is, when it went to all CGI, like, I loved it, because I remember, think about, like, with Attack of the Clones, I remember this, like, in the theater with Attack of the Clones. You saw Yoda talk about, you know, standing with the younglings, teaching them making a joke at, you know, Obi-Wan's, you know, expense. Lost a planet Obi-Wan has, right? And everything, you see him, and the camera's able to pan around him, he's standing up, something we've never seen before, where, like, we see space between his legs, and just, he's there. And then, in Attack of the Clones, at the end, after Obi-Wan and Anakin have failed in their fight against Count Dooku, you see this shadow of Yoda walking up. Yeah. And I remember in the theater, guys, like, this is why I love this scene so much. Even though I think Attack of the Clones is probably one of the weakest of the prequels, just because the dialogue between the love story is just so forced. I remember the energy, the excitement. As soon as that shadow was there, everyone was just like screaming. People were out of their chairs, applauding already. And then, to top it off, Yoda didn't just grab his lightsaber. He used the Force to pull it to him. Like, I don't know about you guys. Like, right now, I'm just getting excited thinking about this fight
scene. Yeah, he reveals his belt loop or whatever, and it unclips.
And it comes to his hand, and then it ignites. Like, everyone's just like, think about it. Like, I don't know about your first experience with it, but, like, if you remember the original trilogy, Yoda as a character, you kind of see him in the first one where he's like, he's a Jedi Master. You know, he's on council and everything. It's like, oh, it's Yoda. It's great. And then you get to see him fight, and he's totally not what people would expect. You know, like, the cane is like a facade for him. He uses the energy and everything. He's jumping around. It is so cool. And I think CGI Yoda, I like him as much as I like puppet Yoda.
For completely different reasons, though.
Yeah, I think CGI Yoda looks better in Revenge of the Sith. But I understand why they used him for clones. It was for that fight. I remember sitting in the theater, like, I was little when I saw Attack of the Clones, and I remember getting to the end, like, I wasn't used to sitting in a movie theater for 2.5 hours. It was like hour 45 at the most. Yeah. And so when you finally get to the end of the movie and things are getting really exciting, like, Yoda shows up, and then I feel like they told Frank Oz to go, like, full Miss Piggy with the voiceover, because, like, it's, you know how Miss Piggy's really good at karate?
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like Frank Oz was in the recording studio, and they're just like, hey, like, the noises you make for Miss Piggy, like, can you do that right now with Yoda? And he was like, absolutely. And then they just went crazy with it, and it was, like, the best scene in the movie.
Yeah, I don't know if it was quite that crazy, but yeah, it's definitely...
When you're six, it's insanely crazy.
Well, Yoda's never been better, in my opinion, honestly. Caveat, the dying Yoda in Jedi is 100%. Even that is, I think, second to just the playful eating the candy bar, rummaging through Luke's stuff. Yoda, okay, puppet Yoda is really, really good, but Attack of the Clones, CGI Yoda, is a success story in the vein of what we're talking about with actors who've been replaced by either partial CGI or complete CGI, or characters that have been, you know, later given the CGI treatment as technology ages, as these films, you know, enter new eras. Yoda, I think, is still the best success story of that being done successfully.
Yeah.
I'll agree with you on that, especially when we talk about the next character I wrote down, Jabba the Hutt. So everyone remembers Jabba the Hutt
from a success story.
Yeah. Well, and here's the thing is, like, I think, I don't know, like, I was talking about this earlier with someone is, you know, obviously we're introduced to Jabba in Return of the Jedi as the first showing of him, you know, timeline-wise. Now, but he does appear in A New Hope, the special edition, and in Phantom Menace, so he shows up before that, you know, in the Star Wars timeline, if you will. Mm-hmm. And so, in me, I'll be honest with you, when I saw Jabba the Hutt in the Star Wars A New Hope special edition in 1997, I'll be honest, I was excited to see it, but it was just like, it felt forced. Does that make sense? Like, that character was always supposed to be there, and they shot that scene, obviously, and that's why they had Harrison Ford do that dialogue at that time. But, you know, in like, the making of Star Wars and the special edition and stuff like that, George Lucas even said he didn't know what type of character Jabba the Hutt was. And obviously, by the time they finally developed the character for Return of the Jedi, you know, Jabba the Hutt had become this giant slug character, what the Hutts are. And he originally envisioned it to be, you know, kind of a furry, big person like Chewbacca. So it was kind of hard to get the massive scale of Jabba the Hutt in that scene. So I will say, A New Hope of Jabba the Hutt did not, you know, it definitely was something that I think a lot of people make fun of. Other than the addition of Boba Fett there, it was kind of like, eh.
I think part of it comes from, like, it's clearly in there because they're like, look, we shot this footage a long time ago and we finally can, like, show it to people. But, like, I like the idea that you don't know who or what Jabba the Hutt is until, like, three movies into the trilogy.
Yeah, I mean, he's mentioned, he's name dropped or whatever.
Like, oh my gosh, who is this Jabba the Hutt? And then finally in Return of the Jedi, you get to meet him and you're like, oh man, like, it's totally, it's like unexpected and it's really funny, you know, all that stuff. And if you have that in A New Hope, it's like, darn it.
Yeah, I think it took away a little bit of the character Jabba the Hutt when you introduce him in A New Hope, because
I actually agree with that.
And you don't even, because you also don't even think about when you, the introduction of Jabba was originally from Greedo, and it's like, "Icha chuta solo," you know, and he's talking.
What was
talking,
that? Can you do that again?
Icha chuta solo. You know, come on, okay, we're talking.
I was just checking
Rodian.
Your diction. I wasn't
but
sure.
You bring my up
diction.
A good point.
It's okay. It's a little Rodian here, guys. Come on,
a little
you know.
Bit.
It's a Star Wars podcast, but you know, it's not even like when he talks about Jabba. You hear Han talk about, say, Jabba. I don't have his money now, but then you see the word Jabba the Hutt. You know, Jabba's put a bounty on your head. Like, you see the words in the subtitle. So it's one of those things where I felt like it was more menacing without actually seeing him.
And then when you finally get the reveal
in the Return of the Jedi, like, he's this big, massive, like, strong gangster, you know, slumlord. And that's just kind of what I thought of him as. What'd you guys think of him in Phantom Menace? Remember, he started the Bunta Eve Classic with the pod race that allowed young Annie to become free from being a slave and become Darth Vader.
I always took that to be his dad. I thought that it was a young Jabba that we saw next to him, and I thought that that was his dad that was starting the Bunta Eve Classic.
Oh, I thought that was his mom.
No, that's Garada the Hutt.
How can we tell?
I don't know. I just like to think of the idea of, like, Jabba's mom, like, pushing him around, like, you know, like the Italian matriarch.
Jabba's mom was probably one of those dancer girls.
Because he's a gangster, right? I see him as, like, a New York gangster, you know, and has, like, this Italian mom who, like, orders him around and stuff.
Jabba was part of the Hutt. Was it the not cartel? They called it the Syndicate in the Clone Wars series. And you know, he was one of 12.
Interesting.
Of the different ones. You know, Jabba also had a son, Stinky.
Stinky.
His name wasn't really
Hutt.
Stinky, but that's what Ahsoka called him. I can't remember.
Oh.
Right. I was like, poor Stinky.
Yeah, I don't remember his name. Let's see, Jabba's son.
I think Stinky the Hutt is a good one. That's
Rhoda. Rhoda is the actual name. Rhoda the Huttlet, aka Stinky from Ahsoka. But yeah, so, you know, Jabba definitely didn't do as well. Now, we're almost to the two last characters I want to talk about before we get into our solo talk with these characters. Wedge Antilles. We've had a whole episode when we talked about Wedge. But Wedge Antilles was actually played by two different actors.
Hmm.
The first one was Colin Higgins, and I don't know if there's any pictures from it, but you see Colin or Wedge tell Luke, Bullseye and Womp Rat, you know, shooting the, hitting the, hit, wait, that's hitting supposed the exhaust to be port. Yes, hitting the exhaust port on the Death Star, on the Death Star is impossible. And Luke responds, you know, there's not 2 meters. It's not much bigger than Womp Rat's. I used to bullseye them back home. So Wedge was a little bit of a pessimistic, if you will, in the briefing before they attacked the Death Star. But then he was replaced because Colin wasn't available when they did the ship shooting. And he was replaced with Dennis Lawson, who is the Wedge that we saw in the rest of the films. So,
wow.
Yeah, you know, we talked about this, and, you know, he made it in, you know, Star Wars, and then Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi. And no one really, the really interesting thing is, he replaced this character in the same, in one film. It wasn't like, oh, he
replaced
it. Yeah,
why'd they even just, like, still call him the other guy Wedge? Like why, you know, like, why wouldn't they just...
According to the Wikipedia article, he was never called that in the movie, but in the novelization, he's listed as Wedge,
which was written by George Lucas at the time.
Well,
too,
maybe can we just call that like a book to movie change
error kind of thing?
Well, it's not book to movie change because the movies came before the book. That's the problem.
That's unfortunate.
See, that's the problem. Star Wars is a little different than most big franchises like that, where they go to the book and then the movie.
We can't complain that, like, you know, the Marauders weren't in Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah, no, sorry, can't do that because they would have been in the movie and then not in the book or something.
Well,
so,
on
yeah,
top of all this...
It's one of those things where you have different actors play the same character even in the same film and no one really says much about it. Although I will say Colin is kind of referred to by most people as the fake Wedge because he was there for, you know, he has that one line and that's kind of it. Whereas Dennis Lawson is deep in the Star Wars ethos, not only as Wedge Antilles in the multiple films, he is the only pilot to destroy 2 Death Stars to survive, which is really cool. Luke only did one. Luke was on the 2nd Death Star, but got off in time. And the Millennium Falcon was at both.
Like, I mean, how many Emperors has Wedge destroyed? Actually, Luke didn't even destroy. Whatever. You know what I'm saying, though.
Yeah, let's compare the two, yeah.
That's my point. It's like, Wedge is this unsung hero, and I'm glad Diana's not here, because she absolutely hates the character. I don't know why.
Jeez.
But yeah, so Wedge is the only pilot to have destroyed 2 Death Stars, be there for both of them, and destroy both of them. But, you know, and the really cool thing about Wedge Antilles, yeah, I know, I was coming back to him, is really cool about Wedge Antilles is... Dennis Lawson, who played him, is the uncle of Ewan McGregor.
Yeah, he is.
So technically, he's Obi-Wan's uncle.
Really? Yep. I thought it was the uncle of the dude who plays Darth Maul.
No.
Ray
Park? Who is the uncle of the dude who played Darth Maul? There was somebody. Ray Darth Park. Maul's related to somebody.
Oh, no kidding.
In the... Hold on. I'm gonna... Hold on.
Okay. But no. Because Ewan McGregor has said it multiple times. I remember growing up seeing Star Wars and supporting Uncle Dennis. And that's... It's just really cool, you know, like Ewan McGregor and I think it's actually, you could probably see it on the Wikipedia page there too. But yeah.
Hold on.
Yeah, I remember finding out.
Ben looks this up. We'll move on.
I'm doing my research. Hold on a second.
So while he does his research, I want to talk about the last character that was switched or has been reprised the role. So Chewbacca, the lovable Wookiee, was played by Peter Mayhew in episode 4, 5, 6, and partially in episode 7.
And partially in episode 3, right?
Yeah, he did play it in episode 3, correct. He did play episode 3.
Yeah.
And Jonas Tsutomu? I can never say his name.
Yeah.
Jonas, J-O-O-N-A-S. I never even say Jonas. It's Jonas Tsutomu, plays Chewbacca. Which I found really interesting because we talked about the Solo, you know, posters. Every other character, even the alien characters, had their character name and the actor that played them, except Chewbacca. Yep. It just said Chewbacca.
I hate that Disney is being so damn weird about this. I hate it.
I think it's so weird. Now, at the same time, like I think it's okay because I think everyone just has kind of accepted it. And Peter has done a phenomenal job with Junis. Like, he's, you know, like I said, they were both on, they both did Phantom Menace together. Or not Phantom Menace, they both did Force Awakens together.
Yeah.
Where Peter spent a lot of time getting kind of June is comfortable with the mannerisms in the small, you know, in the small area like the cockpit. You know, and obviously June did a lot of the action stuff, the climbing of the stairs and the running around and shooting blasters. Like, he, you know, Peter's a little bit older now. And so it's one of those things where it definitely is one of those things where it's definitely, it's both of them. They're in the Chewbacca costume. But in The Last Jedi, it is 100% Junus. Like, it's 100% him. Yeah. And in Solo, it's 100% him. And I think it kind of, I'll say this, I feel like it kind of did, like, we had this passing of a torch of one character to another, and it didn't really, no one complained about it, obviously, because it's, you know, a character that's covered, so it's not quite CGI. You know, it's
he doesn't a look costumed any different character. Necessarily. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a costume character. And it's different that way because you don't ever see it age or anything like that. But it is those things where you see Junus does bring a little bit. You know, he's a little bit shorter by an inch. Not really noticeable on screen. I don't think I've ever noticed it. But there are a little bit difference in mannerisms. I didn't
know Tom Cruise was short until recently. So what they can that? Make you look tall. I didn't know Tom Cruise was short until recently, so they can make you look tall on camera.
I think his coat has changed color a little bit, like gotten a little grayer. In Force Awakens, maybe, I think it was a little grayer. You know, as and he's, an intentional...
he looks different in Solo. He's got double bandoliers and some goggles and stuff like that. So
I think that with Junus, with Peter... you know, transitioning and training him, this was the absolute best case scenario that could have happened, right? Like, you're learning from the best. I mean, Wookiee school can only ever be taught by Peter Mayhew, the man who's inside the Wookiee. And the fact, I was watching the Force Awakens, you know, special features, and just seeing them interact, and really Peter Mayhew talking about just his theories. That was the whole thing. It's like, here's my theory on why Chewbacca would do this and why Chewbacca would do that. You're talking about, like, however many months it took to film, in addition to how many months of prep work that, you know, finding the right actor and then those two actors bonding over the character, and then seeing, you know, the fact that during The Force Awakens was really an incubation period where one could learn from, you know, Peter by seeing him do it and then going and doing it. Best case scenario, right? And I think it's time... Because I'm getting a bit angry. When I saw Last Jedi, you know, I expected to see Junus Sotamo's name, you know, right up there with all the rest of the actors, first build, top build, you know, Anthony Daniels, and it just wasn't, and that bothered me. And I think it's like time, said, especially.
It bothers me on the poster too. That, like, they just say Chewbacca. Like, I don't, you know, I don't know what's going on with the Chewbacca thing. I don't know if it's a Junus, you know. I don't know what to tell
everybody. Like Peter Mayhew is not a household name. You know, not in the way that Harrison Ford is a household name, or, you know, Carrie Fisher or Mark Hamill.
Yeah,
in that order.
Or even Daisy Ridley and John Boyega. And, you know,
yeah. So
those names.
Nobody's going to look at a picture of Chewbacca and go, "Wait a minute, this has the wrong name, Junus." Isn't it Peter Mayhew? Nobody's going to be saying that, and it's about time they start crediting this guy who's doing the work. He's putting in the hard time.
I will say this. He looks like, in all the interviews I've seen, and even the red carpet from Solo, Junus just talks about how much fun he's having doing this. And that's how Peter always was also. How it is just fun to be able to play this character, because... people love Chewbacca. Like, people love the character. And I think that might be what Disney's doing, especially with the, you know, the character naming of just, say, Chewbacca instead of giving it an actor's name. People love Chewbacca. People want to hug him. They talked about how on The Force Awakens that they wore through the Chewbacca costume every 2 weeks or so because everybody just wanted to hug Chewie, just wanted to hug from him. And they wore through the costume, the fur, you know, it's, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, hair's not growing on it, actually. So it's one of those things that, yeah, I get it. So Chewbacca, I think, was the best case scenario. And I'll say, like, I'm excited to see this younger version of Chewbacca in Solo. I think kind of what we learned with, you know, Ewan McGregor and with what he did with Sir Alex Guinness's performance of Obi-Wan. And having had time to talk to Peter, you know, and learn a lot of Chewie's mannerisms, especially when you think that Chewbacca is so much older. You know, he's 200 years old at the time of A New Hope, and he's only 190 years old at the time of Solo. So 10 years, like what he learned from Peter is the same mannerisms Chewie's going to have. Maybe a little rougher or maybe a little gruffer because he's still younger, but not by that much. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So, any luck on that research, Ben?
Yeah, so I don't know where I got that info. Maybe from, I'll dig up some small book I got in 1999. But Ray Park and I share a birthday, so that's all that matters.
Okay, there it was.
Oh, yeah. Happy birthday.
Ray Park was also in X-Men at the same year that Phantom Menace came out.
He was Toad.
I can tell you that. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, he was Toad. He even did the Darth Maul stance just as a homage and a joke. So that was fun. Anyway, so this gets us into the two main characters that are picking up the mantle of characters that are well-known. We have Han Solo's character is returning in Solo, A Star Wars Story. And Lando Calrissian's character is returning. They're not CGI in their face. They have been recast as younger versions of themselves. I will say this. I think the internet is split on Alden Ehrenreich's choice.
Is this prior
Solo?
Is this after they've seen the film, though? Because
The film's not out yet, and the reviews have been mostly good. There have been a few mixed ones. One of the reviews said, "I don't know where's Rey in this one." I feel like this always happens when they do a Star Wars story. Just like with Rogue One, we had some weird reviews. People just didn't understand where it took place.
where is Rey?
I know. I'm like,
One of the reviews I did read. I've been trying to avoid them, but I did read one, and it was basically like it takes about 20 minutes for you to get used to the fact that.
Well,
it's not Harrison Ford, but like after that, once you kind of accept his portrayal of the character, it's fine. You just need to get over the fact that it's not Harrison Ford.
Well, and that's like, what I think, and I think that's I'm what I said that, that when the I said that when the trailer came out, the voice was not him. Like I think having him portray it visually, I don't think I'll have a problem with it. It's the voice.
Yeah,
and I'll tell you this, like something I learned when I was in film school: bad video or bad quality video film is forgivable by audience. Bad audio is not. The reason why, in a movie theater, you're sitting in the dark 50% of the time. There's only 24 frames per second, whereas audio is something that you observe all the time. There's no silence. Like, you always hear the sound. Whereas with video, you're sitting in the dark half the time.
Unless, of course, you smash through a Star Destroyer at light speed. Then there's no
then
sound.
Then it's pure sound.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But it is definitely
bring that
one
up,
of the...
But okay.
It is definitely one of those things where when I was taught this, I had to think about it. I'm like, you know, nowadays people have digital 4K, you know, 1080p stuff, and you don't remember, but do any of you guys remember having, you know, rabbit ears, antenna, trying to get, you know, tuned TV without cable or anything like that?
Okay, so I wasn't born in the 50s, but I do remember having a VHS player and a TV that was large, very cube looking. It was like a Tesseract almost.
Ooh. Kind of cool. Yeah.
But anyway, like I'll be honest with you, like I remember watching something that was kind of fuzzy with some snow and stuff and didn't really care that much.
Yeah.
As long as the audio came through correctly.
Hold on, I was watching something. Oh, no. I have on iTunes, I have the Harry Potter movies, but they're still in standard definition because I bought them that far.
Oh,
in the
interesting.
Past, and I was watching one of them the other day and like I was like, I used to accept this quality of film, like, and that's better than like VHS tapes from early 2000s that I watched. Like, it's just weird how our perspective changes the better things get.
Mm. Yeah. that's funny. So, no, look, I'm excited for Alden Ehrenreich. I don't have high expect. I mean, I think the thing that fans really need to think on is how much disdain, like. Palpable hatred, dislike, and indifference, I should say, Harrison Ford has shown the role of Han Solo throughout the years. I think that needs to be highlighted and underlined and put in bold 26-point font, you know, across headlines everywhere, that Harrison Ford did not enjoy his time on Star Wars or does not care or give a damn about Han Solo. And the door is open now. for another actor to maybe have even a little bit more fun than Harrison Ford did. I think more people should be holding Harrison, accountable for being such a, bullheaded kind of, for feeling the way he feels, whatever.
Scruffy looking nerf herder?
Nerf herder! He had, Harrison Ford, I hate to like criticize the, and it's such an immortal performance. Of course, I do prefer him as Indiana Jones. But he lucked into
it's because
the,
he likes playing Indiana Jones.
Well, yeah, he lucked into the improvised line. I love you. I know, and that's basically it. Like all the charisma. A couple of friends of mine were pointing this out the other day on our improvised Star Trek Slack thread. They were talking about, but like a lot of the charisma that people think Han Solo has, he actually doesn't have. Like, Indiana Jones has charisma, but Han Solo is actually just kind of a bum, and he doesn't pay his debts, he's in trouble, he's snarky to, like, the people who care about him
Everyone,
right? He's actually not that great a dude. Like this is going to be Disney's failing in making this movie if the character doesn't play that well. It's not that Alden Ehrenreich was not properly cast. It's that, Solo is not a good character. he's a bum. And if
he's
you get
a scoundrel.
This actor...
That's what he is.
Yeah, but not even... I think there are even, like, more fun scoundrels in, like, Knights of the Old Republic or something compared to, what Han Solo really is. I mean, so Han Solo is a means to an end to understanding a character archetype that can exist in this world. But I think that ultimately, I'm trying to say is my mind is open and my body is ready for a new Han Solo, a new take on the character. And if the one word of advice, or the one phrase of advice that Alden was able to, that they were able to squeeze out of Harrison Ford to give to Alden, before this, which I read was make it your own, make the character your own. I sure as hell hope he followed that because I want to see, a different, an altogether reminiscent, absolutely, but different Han Solo.
Yeah, I want to see the younger, unjaded, optimistic version of Han, because Han is fairly sarcastic.
As his version of the character doesn't grab Chewie and scream, "Did you put your name in the Goblet of Fire?" I'll be okay.
Thank you, Ben. Thank you, honestly. Thank you.
Right?
Yeah.
It'll be fine.
Yeah. Now, I will say this. The casting of Lando Calrissian made me extremely excited, because this is who I was hoping for. I said this is who they should cast from the get-go. We had Billy Dee Williams in the original trilogy, who... I played it phenomenally. I think Billy Dee did the best job ever on Lando. But now we have Donald Glover, who I absolutely loved in Community. I love his writing and his, his humor in Atlanta and what he did for 30 Rock.
Yeah.
I love him in Atlanta also. So it's one of those things where I think Donald Glover is the perfect Lando Calrissian. And I think he embodies, what Lando's going to be. So I don't know. What do you guys think about the casting of Donald Glover as Lando Calrissian?
100% yes. Agree.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. I think
kind of consensus across the board.
And that's why I find it so odd is the choice for Lando has been kind of, even on the internet, kind of 100% like praise. Like, this is perfect. This is the Lando we wanted.
Whereas Lando's a cool character. Like, Lando is suave in a way that Han Solo is not, and you get a guy who can nail that, and that's the keys to the kingdom right there. Like, Donald Glover can nail him being suave, and the other thing is that the pressure, I think, must be lesser because Lando is not as large a character as Han Solo is in Star Wars. And so, I rewatched Jedi recently, and Lando is barely in it.
Yeah.
He has a big role in
Empire. But he's still the best part.
Kind of. But it's just
he
kinda...
was always my favorite part because he got to drive the Falcon again, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, he got to fly the Falcon again. He's with Nine Nub. They're going there. He's the one that recognized that, the shields are up.
Yeah.
He's like,
that's
come
like
on,
one
Honnold,
of my
buddy.
Favorite parts of the entire... Like, when he realizes it and you're like, damn, that's a good actor.
That's
you have
true.
That moment.
Look, yeah. I love Billy Dee. All I'm suggesting is that he, you know, the character being a smaller, you know, not having as much screen time, you know, there's more flexibility and more places to go. You get a character who can do the main story beats, and that's, you know, going to be a great performance. For Alden Ehrenreich, everybody's going to be scrutinizing each and every one of his mannerisms based on 6 hours of screen time of seeing Harrison Ford in that role. That's a bit much, right? Like, that's a little bit more pressure.
Yeah, I agree.
But look, from
but
day one...
you have
one,
to remember, like, all the memories and everything that people have, the nostalgia built into it. I feel like both characters have almost the same... You know, obviously, Han Solo, you're right, has more screen time, more... You know, and even reprised the role in The Last Jedi and Force Awakens.
Yeah.
So we have four films of Han Solo as Harrison Ford, and now one with Alden. So it's definitely one of those things where, yeah, there's definitely a lot more pressure on him. But I think, like you said, like regardless, we haven't seen anything other than the trailers, and Billy Dee and Donald Glover, like, instantly people said love it, right? Whereas Alden's been like, you know, people don't know. Yeah. I'll say this, like the review said, it takes about 30 minutes. That's what I knew it was going to be. I knew it was going to take some time because of the voice.
I believe that.
Not necessarily the actor, but the voice.
Right. Because, I like, you know, his voice.
The voice is what's going to throw it the most for me. But think about it. Like, we're used to people changing all the time. People lose weight. People get haircuts. Like, our brains can adapt to that quickly. And, it, you know, when you're putting the Star Wars mood in the music, especially since John Williams did do the Solo score, the theme song for Han Solo, even though he didn't score the whole thing, like, you're going to have that John Williams soundtrack behind introduction of Solo. Like,
and it also, just to chime into that a little bit, John Powell, who... is who they hired to do the rest of the score. It says on the album that he adapted it, which means there's probably going to be a lot of John Williams in it, even though he wasn't present, which is going to be helpful, I think.
Yeah.
Well, and that's everything, because you have to remember that he also, everything they did, he adapted and he wrote for this. A lot of it is going to be based on motifs and everything from the original trilogy and even Force Awakens that involve Han.
Yeah, you know, getting
Han's
to
themes
it.
That are pretty...
Yeah,
And the other thing that's going to change is, you know, Williams wrote a specific score for Solo, for Han's character. So that melody is going to be used throughout the film, even if these new songs that are for it were not written by, you know, John Williams. It's going to have those notes. It's going to have that melody in it mixed in with everything else going on.
It's funny because the track is called The Adventures of Han Solo, and I couldn't help but not think The Adventures of Lando Calrissian needs to be a track, too.
Oh, well, oh, I thought you were going to say The Adventures of Young Indiana Jones.
Or there's that, yeah. that'd be true, too. But no, Mikey had mentioned The Adventures of Lando Calrissian should be a movie or a TV show. And
I think it will be. I honestly think that this film will be pretty well received, but... Donald Glover will be universally praised, as well he should. I think he's going to kick its ass. And, you know, we're going to get a Lando, a Star Wars story at some point, I'm sure.
I know. It's about time, well, episode 7 and 8, that we got a Lando.
We just got to go back to Bespin.
I'll say this, you know, with last shot, you know, the Lando book, it's phenomenal. He's back at Bespin. He's a businessman again. He's the Imperatus of Cloud City, but all the wonderful benefits of him having been former governor of Bespin, Cloud City. So it's definitely one of those things where I can see Billy Dee reprising the role in episode 9 or something like that to come out after the death of Han, after the death of, you know, Luke and everyone else. Like,
well, we can use as many allies as we can because there's like 5 resistance guys left at the end of
Last
Jedi.
Exactly, right? So, you know, I can see some of this happening, and I think, you know, with Han Solo being reprised by a new actor, Lando being reprised by a new actor, I think it's okay. We've seen it before in Tarkin. We've seen it before in Obi-Wan Kenobi, in Yoda with CGI, you know, and no one really made a fuss about those as much. And I'll say this, we saw it with Chewbacca, and I think it went perfect. So I think this is the struggle that Disney's going to have with all these, is just... making the hump until people are like, okay, that's also Han Solo. That's okay. That's also Lando.
And it just needs to serve the story. It just needs to serve what is best for, you know, have a good script. Like, bottom line, have a good you know, put the characters in interesting situations, and I think that'll do most of the work for you.
That's exactly it, because these characters are loved. They're beloved characters, so I'm a fan of it. So, guys, that's our kind of take on a new Solo, if you will. Let us know what you think about the different characters. You know, is Ewan McGregor a better Obi-Wan than Alec Guinness? And actually, next week we'll find out. Was Alden a better Solo than Harrison? You know, was Glover a better Lando than Billy Dee? It'd be interesting to see what our takes are on those two after we see the movie. But guys, thank you for listening to another episode of Resistance Radio. Feel free to reach out to us on Twitter at @RRadioPodcast or on Facebook at facebook.com/resistanceradiopodcast. Remember to visit our Patreon page at patreon.com/resistanceradiopodcast. And as always, I'm Mikey B.
I am Ben.
And I'm Eric.
And may the Force be with you.
And may the Force be with you.